Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden. I want to welcome you to episode 272 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? You guys are doing great out there. Thanks for listening. And I know where most of us, if not all of us, are still locked down on, self-quarantine and the whole bit. So that is what it is. Now, I've said this repeatedly. You guys know I'm a believer in this. Do not watch the news. Read the news so you could control the amount of news you get and the level of insanity and fear and whatever else we have to deal with. But this week, Trump has been, he's obviously just unhinged. It is beyond anything, I think, it's beyond anything we could have imagined. We know he's an egomaniac. We know he's a child. We know he's a liar and et cetera. But this week's, and sorry, you'll hear a few beeps in the background. It's just too much home studio gear, too many electronic things involved. Right now I'm looking at my laptop, my iPad, my other iPad, and my phone. But it's all good. It's what we got to do these days. Anyway, he came unhinged, and I know you've seen this at the reporter from CBS News, and he actually just started saying, you're fake, and your net worth, and it literally sounded like a five-year-old child in an argument. It's not even an argument, because a five-year-old child, it's not an argument, it's a tantrum. Get mad and just start calling you names. It would be funny were it not the president of the United States. It really is unbelievable. There was an article in the Times that covered every lie he's told, every mistake he's made since this virus has started, since the world has been dealing with coronavirus. And it's from, it's just going to go away. There's only one case in America, blah, blah, blah. And now he's lost his mind and he's become dangerous. And when I say dangerous, I mean in a way of being power mad. He shut down, he wants to stop the funding for the World Health Organization. And don't know if he can do it because it's a congressional issue. See, he doesn't understand that Congress has power and that there is supposed to be a system of checks and balances between the executive branch, the legislative branch, and judicial branches of government. The problem is that we have a legislative branch in the Senate that will rubber stamp anything this idiot does. And we have a judicial branch which provides no oversight because they become a political right-wing court. So anyway, the amazing thing about when Trump lies and his followers, his cult followers, when he does lie, he actually said to halt the funding for the World Health Organization. So much death has been caused by their mistakes. Now, forget about the fact that in February he was talking about how great they were and what a good job they were doing. They were the ones, the World Health Organization, are the ones who told him in January that this pandemic was beginning. And he went to play golf. And now he's claiming this is their fault and he was great for his ban of flights from China. And it was that statement when he said that I was ahead of the game, I made these bans and gave us time. This is what led to his tantrum, because the reporter from CBS News kept saying, well, what did you do with this extra time you created? He claims he created all this extra time in February to stop the pandemic from coming to the United States. And she was like, what have you done with that time? And he ultimately lost it and had a tantrum and started calling her fake. Now, another thing that he's doing that is this insane power thing. So he's got, and he makes this shit up. Obviously, they make it up as they go. So it's the White House Council to Reopen America. And the people on this council, Mark Meadows, Ivanka Trump, Kushner, Mnuchin, Kudlow, Lighthizer, Wilbur Ross. The people, you know what's not on the council to reopen America? Scientists, doctors, people who deal with disease and can give us some idea when it would be safe to go back out after this pandemic has peaked or whatever. I mean, his daughter and son-in-law, Mnuchin, who's the racist xenophobe. It's, again, say it again over and over. If it wasn't real, it would be hilarious. You're also aware that the stimulus checks that a lot of people need to get, some people get direct deposit of this $1,200 stimulus money, but many people still need to get paper checks. And he said that the paper checks have to have his name on them. So these people who need this money won't be getting this money for, it'll take an extra couple of weeks because they have to put his name on these checks. It's unbelievable. I read somewhere, I read on Twitter where a person said, well, that's not important. The important thing is the checks. No, it is important because putting his name on the checks turns the checks into propaganda. See now, and you know, it's a simple thing, but it does work. When election comes, it'll be like, remember that check I sent you? Because my name was on it. See, it just becomes propaganda. And all of this leads to the one thing that we really need to look at and we really need to talk about, and that is Trump actually says that the quote, the president of the United States calls the shots. Donald Trump said in a news briefing, quote, when somebody's president of the United States, the authority is total. Do you understand what that statement is? I mean, how incredible and how wrong and how it's not even stupid. It's dangerous to say that, to think that. Listen, this country was founded based on a leader not having absolute power. A leader with absolute power like that is a king. And it was specific. This country was founded to get out from under a king. The 10th Amendment of the Constitution says, quote, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited. Sorry, let me read it again. Quote, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. Now, what that means, what it basically is saying is states, when there's a question, the authority goes to the states, okay? It basically mandates that the default position in conflicts between the states and the federal government rests with the states. Okay, so when push comes to shove, the states are supposed to prevail. Now, what that means is that the states do have the power. But here's the thing that's really important about this as far as the hypocrisy and ignorance of his cult followers. The Republicans are always yelling about the Second Amendment, the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, the right to bear. Well, you know why they gave them the right to bear arms in the Second Amendment? To battle this. See, states could form militias to battle a federal government trying to take over. If you remember some years ago when there was a military exercise in the Southwest. It was in parts of Texas and New Mexico. They all swore that Barack Obama was preparing for martial law, and it was some secret thing that he was going to take over the country. And they all went out and bought their guns and bought more guns, and then they bought some more guns because they had to be ready to fight the federal government. And yet now they're supporting a president who said, "I have total power." Even Fox News, and it's amazing that Fox News is suddenly becoming the enemy of the president. Even we've reached a point where even Fox News has to use common sense and truth. And even Fox News said that Bret Baier, one of their talking heads, said conservative heads would have exploded if Obama claimed total authority. Exactly, exactly. I also read in a BBC News thing about, isn't it amazing how the United States went from a black president who was a constitutional law professor to a white guy, a white president who knows nothing about the Constitution. Nothing. And has no knowledge of it, no respect for it. It is unbelievable that he would say that. It is even more unbelievable that his followers are okay with it. The president has total authority. No, he doesn't. This is the United States of America. Jared Kushner, this is our stockpile. No, the stockpile belongs to the United States of America. There are so many things where this happens. You're looking at the marijuana issue, the abortion issue, all of these issues. It's up to the states. States may get it wrong, but it is up to the states. I could go on this one for an hour, but the fact that they're so ignorant and so brainwashed and so caught up that this conflict between the Second Amendment and the 10th Amendment is fascinating, because what they're saying is we want the right to have our guns to stop the federal government from taking over. And yet the president says, "I am the president. I have total power over all states." And they're like, "Let's reelect him." It's amazing. It is unbelievable. And yet it's not. I didn't talk much about this last week, and I'm not feeling it in the sense of going all in on talking about this. But as we know, Bernie Sanders has dropped out of the presidential race. Bernie Sanders has endorsed Joe Biden. Barack Obama has endorsed Joe Biden. Joe Biden is a de facto Democratic candidate. And a few people have asked me, do I think he's going to win? I don't know, because for one thing, you have Trump and you have his cult, but you also have the courts and the Senate and doing everything to suppress voting. And for example, the voting by mail thing, which, you know, if God forbid, but if we're still under quarantine or severely limited or whatever, come election day, they don't want to allow voting by mail because they know the fewer people that vote, the better chance you would win. So there's that. The other thing that worries me is the Bernie supporters. Will the Bernie supporters vote for Joe Biden? I don't know. I honestly don't know. I read where a lot of them said that they won't. And I would appeal to them based on the fact that Ruth Bader Ginsburg will not live forever. It's about the courts, people. Look at the courts. Also, if Biden becomes president, I think he'll surround himself by more reasonable people than we have now. I doubt if, you know, anybody in the family is going to be given a job. They'll bring more progressives on board. The Democratic Party will have to acknowledge the progressives and try to bring more on board and try to incorporate some of Bernie's ideas. It is not a plot against Bernie. It was not anything, but who knows? I don't know how they're going to vote, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. You know, moving on, someone emailed me about China's racism against Africans in light of this virus. And it's really amazing. It was something I wasn't aware of until this person emailed me, but it has gotten so ridiculous that there was a McDonald's in the city of Guangzhou that put up a sign saying, from now on, black people are not allowed to enter the restaurant. To McDonald's credit, they immediately shut down the restaurant and all that. But the idea that they're like, don't call it the Chinese virus because that's racist. But within China, we'll blame black people and Africans. It's your head explode. There's no way to, you can't, there's no rationalization. There's no, it's unbelievable. I don't know. I mean, obviously, listen, it's wrong. It's horrible. They're looking to blame somebody. They're pulling black people out of their homes. They're pulling African people in China out of their homes, making them get tested. They're not letting them sleep at home. It's I don't even know how you combat this level of racism. I honestly don't know. There's like you try intelligence, reason, nothing works. Time, nothing works. I don't know. I'm not saying give up, but I really don't know. So yeah, economic pressure. You know, this way. Look, you might hate them, but you have to deal with them. And that would be on the corporations like McDonald's who stepped up. And you know, man, it hurts. It's angering, but it's real. It's there. And yeah, fuck you on this one, China. Fuck you. You're wrong. God bless those people and what they have to deal with. This is like living in the United States, in the 1900s, you know, still parts of the United States today, but when segregation was legal. And I'm going to talk more about that in a minute, but let's continue on this topic, because again, just from ridiculous to matter of fact to comical. So the China thing is the ridiculous. The matter of fact is NASCAR driver Kyle Larson, and you really have to hear this. You know, if you hear it, you'd really see how he said it. So Kyle Larson was on some race simulation. That's how they're doing racing now. And he just said, hey, nigger. But he said nigger so matter of fact that you know this isn't the first time, and this isn't even unusual. And then somebody on the team went on the radio and said, hey, Kyle, everyone can hear you. Just letting him know. And the way it sounded, the way it plays out, and you just got to, I'm not going to play the clip. I don't have it right here ready to go. But you could tell, like, this wasn't unusual. It was just, they can hear you. This is our normal tone and terminology, but they can hear you. Now, right away, he was dropped. Coincidentally, McDonald's, one of the sponsors who dropped him, Chevrolet, and ultimately he was fired from his racing team, and his career is probably, as well as it should be, over for this. But this is NASCAR. This is the number one gathering of Confederate flags at any event in the country. I have a friend who's a NASCAR fan, great guy, by the way, black man, great fan of NASCAR, and he was saying, well, yeah, it's still there, but it's in all kind of racing, and NASCAR's trying. They do have a black driver, Bubba Watson, and they have more black mechanics and people working, but this just lets out, yeah, all of these people to them are the niggers. That's who they are. That is I still believe that that is the de facto belief within the sport, and I won't fuck with it. I won't fuck with it. So there's nothing that can happen to Kyle Larson that isn't fair. Like, they always say, well, he's a young man who made one mistake. Fuck him. Because his mistake wasn't saying nigger. His mistake was getting caught. His mistake was that this radio, which is probably usually only a team radio, was now a public radio. So that's just how it is. And let's not pretend that it's not. That's the matter of fact. The comical idiocy of this racism. Two men at a Walmart outside of Chicago last month were followed by a cop and basically bullied and kicked out of the store by a cop. And they talked a little shit, but they didn't do anything, thank God, because you know they'd have got killed for it. But they got on them for wearing masks in Walmart. They were wearing surgical masks, and this was before the masks were mandated or before they were common, but they wore masks. And let me tell you something. Asian people have been wearing masks everywhere all the time. But anyway, and I joked about this. I said this when the mask thing first started. I'm a large black man. I said, imagine me wearing a mask and a hoodie in a store. What the hell you think's going to happen? Well, they were kicked out of the store. Now, this past week, a black man on a bus in Philly wasn't just kicked off the bus, was dragged off the bus, thrown off the bus, physically dragged off the bus, for not wearing a mask. So here we have it. Black people kicked out of the store for wearing a mask, kicked off the bus for not wearing a mask. What do you do? What are you supposed to do? How do you deal with it? I don't know. I don't know. Do you wear half a mask? Do you, you know, and there's a, and the internet has been terrible and fantastic through this whole coronavirus thing. But there was one meme, a video, not even a meme, it's a video going around showing what they did in Spain. Rather than beat up a black person and drag him off the bus, rather than physically grab him and rough him up, not arrest him or just rough him up and take him off the bus, the police in Spain are giving out masks. In all public transportation, the police are literally, if they see you without a mask, they give you a mask. And on the bus in Philly, somebody could have been there and said, hey, due to this virus, we need people to wear masks. You don't have one. Here's a mask. Would you put that on? No. Instead, we'll drag you off the bus like it's 1963 or some shit, you know? Yeah, and they showed repeatedly all over Spain, cops just giving out masks. It's just something to try. Rather than beat you up, we'll just... You don't have a mask? How about we give you one? And we don't need to print Trump's name on all the fucking masks we give out. Let's just give out some masks. This is all significant to me today because, and I actually got emotional tweeting about this today. It's April 15th. It's Jackie Robinson Day. Jackie, that's what I'm recording. So I'm recording this on Jackie Robinson Day. Now, and I put this on Twitter. Fuck you, Donald Trump. Fuck you. You make America great again? You have no idea what that means. People like Jackie Robinson made America great. Jackie Robinson made America great. Donald Trump and his followers they can't even comprehend the strength and courage that it took for people to make this country great. Whether it be Jackie Robinson or the people who fought in the Revolutionary War to get out from under a king, okay? But I'm going to talk about Jackie Robinson because can you even imagine what Jackie Robinson dealt with every day? This Kyle Larson calling somebody, you know, somebody a nigger. Jackie Robinson was a nigger every day. Jackie Robinson was a nigger at every game. Jackie Robinson was called nigger by other players. Jackie Robinson was called nigger by the managers, by the fans, by there were ballparks that wouldn't let him play. This every day, that was Jackie Robinson's life. That generation, and my mom and dad were of that generation. I particularly respect my dad for having worked and bought the house we grew up in. I can't even imagine how hard that was in that time of segregation being the norm and nigger being your name and you not being allowed to fight back. Okay, Jackie Robinson was not allowed to fight back. Make America great? Fuck you, Donald Trump. Jackie Robinson made America great. The Jackie Robinsons made America great. Okay, they could not be denied. Their strength and courage is beyond anything your pitiful ass could imagine. Okay, you couldn't even comprehend what this man dealt with every day. Oh, by the way, do you know how Jackie Robinson fought their prejudice? By being better than them. He was a better baseball player than any of them. He's probably one of the greatest baseball players in baseball at that time. Rookie of the year, winning World Series. Jackie was unbelievable. And you know what? He wasn't even the best baseball player in the Negro Leagues. He was just the right one. Yeah, there were players who were better. There were players who were better, but they knew that Jackie could put up with the shit that it took to break a color barrier. And he broke the color barrier on the field and in the country because they had to admit how great he was. No matter how much they hated him for being black, he was playing baseball. He was playing their game by their rules, and he was better at it than them. So they had to, and they fucking hated it. And they had to accept it. Oh, and by the way, Jackie Robinson didn't ask for us to put his name on anything. So instead, baseball retired his number. No one can wear that number again. Yeah, I get emotional. Because what Jackie Robinson did, what black men had to put up with, black women, black people at that time, is beyond anything we can comprehend. There's no racism I deal with that matches what they had to deal with every fucking day. We're still here. So fuck you, Donald Trump. And fuck you, China, for black people who can't come to McDonald's. And fuck you, Larson, for calling someone in NASCAR a nigger. Because guess what? We're still here. We're still here. And we're thriving. And my admiration for black people of that generation and prior generations is greater than anything you can imagine. Because what they did, I can't comprehend. And still doing it. And athletes are still doing it. Russell Westbrook this week bought 650 laptops for kids who have to study at home, can't afford a computer. So I shout out athletes repeatedly because I think what they do is great and they don't get enough credit. We always talk about when they fuck up, you know, and they beat somebody up or get arrested. But we don't talk about enough about the great things they do. My heart goes out to Karl Anthony Towns, a basketball player who lost his mother to the coronavirus. And so many, you know, just so tens of thousands of deaths based on this thing. And this fucking idiot wants to cut funding to the World Health Organization. Because you know why? Because they did it right and he did it wrong. And it makes him look bad. So there's that. Finally, I want to talk about justice. Beautiful, beautiful justice. Not even poetic justice, real justice. And Australia's out of control, by the way. Australia don't give a fuck, all right? And that's what's great about Australia. No fucks given. So, some ass clown in Australia wanted to get a refund on 150 packs of 32-pack toilet paper and 150 units of 1-liter sanitizer. And Mr. Drake, John Paul Drake, the director of Drake's Supermarkets, simply posted a video of him giving the guy the finger. Yeah, fuck you. You wanted to hoard toilet paper and hand sanitizer? Well, good luck, because now you have 150 32 packs of toilet paper and 150 liters of hand sanitizer, and you are stuck with it. You're not returning it, and they're not letting you sell it online, so just your garage is full. Fuck you. But what's great about it, he literally is on the video giving the guy the finger. See, that's the part in the United States nobody would do. Not like that. They'll say nigger on the radio, but they would not give this hoarder the finger. So that's beautiful. Thank you, Australia, for handling your business. Thank you for listening. Sorry I got a little emotional there, but it's real to me. Thank you, Jackie Robinson, for existing and for what you did. Thank you, reporters, for showing Donald Trump who he is without just by asking questions, showing us all who Donald Trump really is. I believe the reporter's name was Paula Reed. I believe that's her name. Paula Reed, who brought out the temper tantrum of the fucking baby. And thank you guys for doing your best out there, for hanging in, for supporting podcasts and live stream and Zoom meetings and so on. A lot of you, I've been doing a few charity things online for employees of comedy clubs who can't work right now, and you guys have been buying in and supporting, so thank you for that. Try to keep laughing. Try to find your sense of humor. Read the memes. I tell you, don't watch the news, or at least limit watching the news. Read the news. Limit your doses and try to find some sanity. Who's paying attention? You are, and I thank you for it. Alonzo Bowden, signing off.